Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Good news here if you're a Cubs fan trying to get marquee, then we'll get to the NFL news. According to Jesse, the Cubs and marquee have an agreement in place now with broadband provider WOW. And you're like, all right, just tell me about Comcast, you know. And
I don't know who WOW is. Yeah,
but Jesse does point out, at least what Jesse said, they're the fourth largest provider in the Chicago area. Now, I would think...
I've never heard of them.
Comcast is one. AT&T DirecTV is two, correct? And then where does Dish figure in? Is Dish three and WOW four? Or does WOW have more than Hulu?
You are pointing me in a direction that I have no answers.
Yeah. So, but I guess people do have WOW. None of us. Yeah.
Do you know anyone who has WOW?
RCN? What is RCN?
RCN's got to be up there, too. Yeah. At one point in my life when I had a condo or an apartment rental, it was RCN.
Like, I wonder, is AT&T DirecTV considered a cable provider? I guess they would, even though they're a satellite dish. You know what I mean?
They're number two, aren't okay. they?
Well, I'm just asking. I don't know how the classifications work, but it would make sense. I'm just wondering.
Okay. So there's that news to pass along to you. And then there's the NFL stuff, the CBA. Overnight, this was like late at night. It's very confusing. So they have this leadership council made up of 11 leaders, union leaders.
There's 32 guys, 32 representatives, one for each team.
No. This is the executive council I'm talking about.
I'm saying, so then you also have an umbrella of guys that consist of, that make up that.
Right. So for the executive council who actually negotiates the deal, what was it, guys? Wasn't it 7-4 that they said they don't recommend the deal?
Correct.
After the negotiations last night. Then these player reps, like Waddle mentioned, every team has a player rep. 32 player reps. The player reps voted in favor of the deal 17-14. And now this, at some point, will go to the players, and all they need is simple majority.
Who abstained?
Yeah, there was one team or one rep that abstained.
Look, this is my humble opinion is going to get done because the improvements to the contracts of the rank and file guys are there. I don't think they have a chance of rallying a majority of the people willing to not get a paycheck in 2021. I just don't think it's there. That, and the owners know that. So I think this thing is, I don't believe they're even voting for what? Is it a couple of weeks? I think it's going to take a couple of weeks to get the teams to vote. But it's been sent to a vote. I fully expect this to pass. There have been high-profile guys that are against it. I saw that Russell Wilson came out against it.
Obviously,
Aaron Rodgers. We saw what J.J. Watt had to say. Look, to me, the issue for these guys is they're not getting enough in return for the 17th game. Now, the owners waived the whole maximum $250,000 for the 17th game if, in fact, you're a player that's under contract, you know, for the next couple of years.
Like Khalil Mack. We'll make more than $250,000.
And look, as a rank-and-file guy, I support not signing off of that, even though that rule wouldn't have affected me. Because that's a silly common sense issue, and the owners,
you're getting a pay cut for playing an extra game.
Correct, and that you know what, whether or not you're making $150,000 a game, or you're making $750,000 a game, I think the guys making $150,000 a game would support the guys making $750,000 a game because of the essence of what's right and what's wrong. I think that it's the consensus here in terms of the objection is that the players don't feel they're getting enough in return for the 17th game. That's the sticking point.
Or do some, but aren't there some reps who simply don't want to play 17? I thought there were like three classifications. Some will play 17 and they're cool with it. The second class that you mentioned, 17-game guys they could live with if they're enticed the correct way. And then there's the third who simply do not want to play a 17th game.
That may be, you know, they may be divided up that way. I think when you add groups two and three together, that's where the sticking point is. You're not going to have sticking points on other issues. And again, I have not seen anything related to if you play on Sunday, you can't play on Thursday. I mean, that should be a given with a 17-game schedule with a 19-week season. So you're going to get two byes. There better not be a team that plays on Sunday and then straps it up and plays again on Thursday.
They have still not yet clarified there are two byes yet. We've always assumed because that gives them two more weeks instead of one more week of television.
Well,
there's 19 weeks of TV instead of 18 weeks.
My guess is that the players, that's something they're okay with because there's more television money in the pot.
Well, yeah, if you think about it logically, that benefits both sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you get two full weekends off during a 19-week season if this new agreement happens, as opposed to one weekend off in 17 weeks.
Look, again, I haven't seen anything about it, but it should be standard. If you can't figure out a way for a team...
But this is, you know how this is going to go. This will be the NFL owners... This is probably why we haven't heard about it yet. The NFL owners, if this gets voted down for whatever reason, the NFL owners will come back and say to the players, you know what? Some of you don't want to get on board with the 17-week schedule. You know what we're going to do? We're going to add an extra bye week. We're going to give you, the players, two bye weeks, and they'll be selling it to them as this will be beneficial.
Like it's a gift, even though it's probably what they thought of.
It will absolutely benefit the owners because they know that, like we just said, it's going to mean an extra week of television football for them.
It's a gift that's built into the owner's negotiating perspective, the same way that going back on the $250,000 max for the extra game.
They gave something.
Yeah, that was that you knew they were going to give on that. But I haven't heard. I haven't heard anything about that. I don't know what the specifics are.
It's just part of the negotiation.
This is Marquise Pouncey. It's very, very hard to understand other than...
Especially with the bleeps.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because of the bleeps. Except that, to know that he's very upset at this deal. So Marquise Pouncey is on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's not their player rep, is he? He's bellyaching, though, about what they're... How this
the
was
way
approved.
He's talking, it sounds like he, you know, I don't
he's
know. I'll check
the,
him out.
Ramon Foster is their player rep.
Sounds like he's mad at union leaders too in this. So listen, this was online. And he's appealing to all the other players in the league to vote this down. Again, turn your radio up. There's lots of beeps, so it's tough to understand totally, except to know that he's very angry.
Man, this so crazy, man. I vote no. Our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, they ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player, any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team stand up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a deal just so these sitting there president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't getting done.
Well, listen, be careful by having an open-ended offer to pay somebody's rent money because you may get more calls than you could see.
To call us, the Pouncey Twins.
Yeah.
We're going to take care of it.
Listen, I don't know. I said this upstairs. I don't know how you would do it. The only way you could have prepared yourself for a strike or what would end up being, as Trey Wingo told us yesterday, would be a lockout because the players won't sign an extension and then the owners will be forced to not allow them onto the facility premises because that would be in violation of you know, you just couldn't have them on have them in the building, is if they had some sort of fund. The NFL Players Association fund, a rainy day fund, whatever it is, to cover some short-term expenses if, in fact, there was a work stoppage. Now, I mean, the only way to assure that guys would be prepared for this is to, leading up to this, guys, save your money. I hope everyone saved their money. My guess is there are a ton of guys, despite the huge salaries they're making, that they're living paycheck to paycheck.
Right. There are many guys who don't save their money when everything's fine with the labor agreement.
Listen, you're going to get a portion of the players that vote for this because they can't. Not only they don't want to miss a paycheck, they can't.
Was it your story? Whose story was it about the player who showed up to Halas Hall to collect a paycheck during the offseason?
Well, I had heard that story about a Bear in the early 2000s.
Okay. That he showed up, so they get paid per game.
Every Wednesday.
Their salary is split up in 16ths?
Maybe 17 weeks because of the bye.
So say you make $10,000, they split that up into 16 or 17 checks. So right. In the offseason, you do not get paid.
You
still have to work under the contract.
From what I understand, there was a player that went up the week after the season ended. They weren't going to the playoffs, as has been the case 9 out of the last 10 years, I think, or more. He went up to Halas Hall to pick up his check. There was no check. And he had to ask, why wasn't there a check? And they had to explain to him, your representatives should have told you that your salary for the season, if it was arbitrarily $1 million, was paid to you once a week for 17 weeks. And in the off season, when the season ends, the checks go away because your salary is divided up into 17 weeks.
Yeah. Howard and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Howard.
All right. This is going to, first of all, how you doing, gentlemen?
We're good, thanks.
Pass because 70% of the league plays 4 to 5 years, and they can't afford not to take the pay hike. The guys are making the quarterbacks and the superstars, they don't really care about the younger players. I don't want to stop getting mean or anything. They're going to get their money. And when you hear Pouncey said, well, I have enough money to lay out for these guys, that's because he's making $8 and $9 million a year. But Tom, when you were in the league, how many guys were making 30% of the mean?
No, I mean
I think I heard this stat today, Howard. Like 70% of the players are minimum, like 60 to 70.
Listen,
they're getting an immediate $90,000 to $100,000 bump in their.
That's
pay.
A layup for the owners too. That's a give. That's like telling you that we're going to remove the $250,000 maximum for the 17th game for a player who's making more than $250,000. That's a give for the owners.
Though it does start next year before they're playing 17 games. That will start next year. Where the players will get an additional bump in their salary.
Yes, because there's more money kicked in from new television contracts and everything else. Look, I don't agree with the one thing that Howard said about the top money players don't care about the others. I don't truly believe that. There may be some who only want to get theirs. I don't believe that. I just don't think that there's any way that everybody or a majority of people will be willing to miss a game check to sit out. And the only way to really get what I think is due to the players would be to sit out, and that won't happen. I agree with Howard that they're going to pass this probably with an excess of 65% of the votes from the players. I don't think everyone who's in the top percent of the earners are that callous that they don't care.
Who does Lewis Riddick believe the Bears are going to get as a quarterback? And does he believe Ryan Pace that Mitch is still the starter? Can't Miss Radio with Lewis Riddick up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We have Lewis Riddick on the phone where we will be saying X team's general manager, and he's down at the combine and he joins us now. He will be general manager in this league. And Lewis, until then, does a great job for ESPN as the front office insider. It's all over the place, and he joins us right now from Indianapolis on the Corona Hotline. How have you been, Lewis?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
We're real good. We're trying to speak pace. So Ryan Pace met the media yesterday, and he doubled down on Mitch Trubisky as our starting quarterback. So I ask you, do you believe him when he says that?
I believe that's what he wants. I believe that that's what they're going to work very hard to make have happen. When you make that kind of investment in a player as far as draft capital, and you know that people basically judge you based off of the success or failure of that player, especially relative to the other quarterbacks drafted in the same draft class, you're going to come out and you're going to publicly throw your support behind him 100% until you no longer can. I do know this. I would expect that they will demand more from Mitch Trubisky than they ever have before, starting with this year's OTAs and minicamp and then on in the training camp, because expectations are ratcheted up in Chicago. Matt knows that. Matt Nagy knows that. He revamped the offensive side of the ball. Expectations are ramped up. I know they're fired up. They're excited as far as from a coaching staff perspective. And they need to throw their full support behind trying to get him going. And it'll be interesting to see what their plan is and how they try to get him going. Whether that involves bringing in a veteran of some kind, some sort, to provide competition and light a fire under him, or if they just try to do that internally.
Two questions, Lewis. The first one, how big is the chasm between what they want to do and what they can do? And then I'll circle back and ask you, and I don't know how closely you followed, like how many draft picks they have and how much money they have to spend. But based on the trade for Khalil Mack and some of the other things they've done, they don't have a lot of wiggle room here. So I guess the first question is, what can they realistically do? There's a lot of people here in town that want a big splash. To take over at quarterback. What can they do with the limited number of picks and the limited number of cap, limited amount of cap space they have?
Well, there's always ways to make cap space if you really want to make something happen from a financial and accounting standpoint. There's always ways to make something happen from a equity standpoint if you want to go out into future years and once again start playing with future year's draft picks and mortgaging future year's draft picks. I don't think that's where they are. I don't think that's not where I would be. I wouldn't be willing to do that at this point. What I would be willing to do, though, is to, if I wasn't going to draft someone, if I wasn't going to look for the heir apparent, then I would definitely be looking for someone who could provide significant competition for him and or take his job. I would be looking for that. I would be looking for this reminds me very much so of the Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill type of situation. That's the kind of situation I would be looking to create. One where he understands that, look, there's maybe a veteran here who has proven that he can win football games at a high level, but for one reason or another has not been able to sustain it. And if he comes in here and prove that he's better than you, he'll play. If he doesn't prove that he's better than you, then that's a good thing, too, because that means you raised your level. And if during the season, at some point in time, you aren't able to get the job done, then we know that we have an option there ready to go. That's the kind of situation I would be looking to create. I don't think they're in no way, shape, or form are they looking to make a splash. I wouldn't be trying to do that either. I don't think that's what's necessary right now.
So who would that be? Who fits your description?
Oh, you know what? They don't pay me to get those. No, you know what? I mean, seriously, in all seriousness, look, I think from a logistically, who would you look at? Who would fit that kind of bill? All right. Look, Jameis Winston is one of those people who right now, from a talent standpoint, Jameis Winston is a better passer of the football than Mitch Trubisky. Jameis is also a prolific turnover machine. Okay, so we know that as well. But when he's on, his ceiling is higher than what Mitch's is. And when he's on, he will light you on fire. When he's not on, he's gonna sacrifice your ability to win games. He's one of those guys that, from a profile perspective, look, with Ryan Tannehill, it was just that he just couldn't stay healthy. But when he was on the field, he can win you a football game. Jameis is one of those guys who would like in that role, although he probably still sees himself as a starter. Maybe Bruce Arians still sees himself as a starter who still just needs to take care of the football. Maybe other teams think of him as a starter. That's the kind of person, from a profile perspective, you're looking at. The other name that would probably get thrown around in that regard is a guy like Teddy Bridgewater. Although I don't see Teddy Bridgewater's ceiling being one where you go, it's significantly better than what Mitchell's could be if he would actually just realize his potential. I don't see it that way. So That's the kind of guy, that's the kind of age profile I'd be looking for, something like that, until I determined I have a way to go out and get my next franchise guy,
which obviously I think in this case would be, hey, we're back at it again, evaluating quarterbacks for 2021.
Waddle and I believe that Case Keenum is a profile to look at because he's non-threatening to Mitch, but he's also a guy that can lead a team to the playoffs like he did with Minnesota. Would you buy that?
I buy everything right there except for the fact that I don't want somebody who's non-threatening.
Right.
I want somebody who is threatening.
But does Ryan Pace want that?
No, he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't, but remember, you asked me of what I want,
right,
not what he was.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, I'm just messing around. But no, seriously, I mean, and I think it's hard to say, look, when you're emotionally attached to a player and you feel like your reputation, your professional reputation is riding on his success or failure, it's easy to say, yeah, I'd want somebody to threaten him and throw somebody in there and look, this is a cold, hard business. But when you're emotionally attached, it's different. All right, you're trying to serve two masters, so to speak. You're trying to light a fire under him, but at the same time, you don't want him to feel too threatened. It's almost like dealing with your kid. You know, you want him to understand that you need him to do better, but you don't want to crack down on him too hard because you love him. They're your kids. So I think that's kind of like the position that he's in. But I think really what they need – look, Mitch was drafted second overall, man. I mean, it's like you have to take off the kid gloves with him now. It's time. And I promise you, that's what you're going to see happen in Chicago. The kid gloves are going to come off of him. I think you will see a rejuvenated, very, very animated, demanding head coach and offensive staff that is going to let him know it's time, bro. It's time to play. Commensurate with where you were drafted and the expectations that come along with that.
So does that mean, Lewis, from your perspective, that Matt continues to ask Mitch to play his offense the way that Matt sees his offense being executed? Because we've heard a comment from Matt, you know, yesterday that said, look, I in my growth, I've got to do a better job of getting, you know, wrapping my offense around guys and what they do best, for lack of a better description.
No, that you're, yeah, and I think that's the exact way to go. I think you have to, you want better production. You want explosive production. You want championship production, but you can't ask someone to do just simply what they can't do. So now, as the coach, you have to be that dude, as they say, so to speak. You have to be that guy who's able to say, okay, this is what I want, but I can't try and fit a square peg in a round hole, and I can't ask him to do the things that maybe Pat Mahomes could do. But there are some areas where I do believe, Tommy, that he's going to have to challenge him.
Yeah.
Challenge him to get better and say, hey, look, you may not have been good at this in the past, but we need this. We can't run tunnel screen, halfback screen, rocket screen, slant flat, two jet Hank, all those things like over and over and over. You can't run three-step drop every play. At some point, we have to take, hey, remember that play that Pat Mahomes called in the Super Bowl? The two-jet or three-jet chip wasp or whatever they called it? That deep double move to at some point, they have to call those kind of plays, too, and he has to hit them.
Yeah, Mitch throws that in the front row of the stands. We know he's not going to throw that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He has to hit those. And he's shown he can hit those. He showed it in the Detroit game. It was Minnesota late in the season.
He kills Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
He made some money throws where you're sitting there going, dang, that's what we're talking about. The Philadelphia, the Eagles game in the playoffs, the last drive, you're going, where's this guy? So he can do it.
Yeah.
The heat's on Matt, too, to get it out of him.
Right.
So it's, I'm telling you, your shows should be burning up this year as far as weekly people calling in, because you know every play is going to be scrutinized, and rightfully so.
I'll give you my personal opinion, whether it's worth anything or not, is I don't think the coach is as confident in his quarterback as the general manager is. I won't ask you if you feel the same or differently. What I will ask you, Lewis, is how much does that matter?
Well, it matters a lot. It matters a lot because you know what it can do. It can strain a relationship. It can strain the relationship. Look, coaches and general managers meet multiple times a week, if not every day. They see each other every day. It doesn't mean they sit down and have lengthy discussions every day, but they're discussing that roster nonstop. And subject number one in Chicago every week is going to be Mitchell's growth or his continued regression every day. And coaches are inherently much more impatient and short-sighted. General managers try to take the long-term view because the long-term view always, you know, works to their advantage because that means I'm around longer. You know, I've got time. I can build this. I'm putting together my plan, my philosophy. So those two things are competing forces because the coach knows if I don't produce, I'm out of here. So he's going to do whatever is necessary. The general manager sometimes, you know, tries to always, you know, trot out there that idea of being patient, and we do see incremental growth. And so, and that will test relationships. GM told me that a long time ago. He said at the extremes, man, is when it's always the most important, or rather, it's always the most telling as far as how strong a relationship is at the heights and at the depths. And right now, you know, I mean, Chicago's not rock bottom by any means, but I'm saying as far as what Mitch Trubisky's future is in Chicago, it's right now at a tipping point. And that's where you're going to find out just how tight Matt and, you know, and Ryan are. And who, and are they going to stick together? Or if things start going bad, you know, are people going to start going, well, I want my guy. And the next thing you know, look, that usually can cause problems.
Before we let you go, Lewis, Ron Wolf used to say pick a quarterback every year. And the Bears definitely have a need. But what I don't like is when the Bears, like, would draft guys like Dan LeFever or David Fales, guys who don't have a shot. Is there some, with all their needs, with offensive line, tight end, on and on, is there still someone that they could buy later in the draft, draft later in the draft, that has a chance to still develop into something?
Yeah, you know, in that area where you're talking, like, maybe they would be willing to draft a quarterback, I haven't gotten that deep into the weeds on the quarterbacks. I am into the guys who could possibly go top of the second, late second, maybe sneak into the first. If in that area, look, you want guys who have the profile of the Jordan Love and the Jacob Eason's of the world. I mean, Jake Fromm's not going to be a kind of guy. Those aren't the guys that really you're banking on them becoming something. But guys like Love, guys like Eason, if there was some way, somehow, those guys fell into your lap, which they probably won't because they're phenomenal athletes. Those are the guys that you're talking about.
How about Jalen Hurts, Lewis? Is that a guy? How do you feel about how he translates?
You know what? I talked about him today on TV as someone who I'm very intrigued by. First and second down, Jalen Hurts has the skill set that, you know, he's good enough where you can win in the NFL when you have the benefit of play action and RPOs working to his advantage. It's just on third down, when it's time to throw it and they know you're going to throw it, just how skilled, how advanced is he? I don't know. He's not on the same level of some of these other guys who put up the same kind of numbers. He's just not. I saw that at the Senior Bowl. It's just he would need time. Is it impossible? No, it's not. And you know you don't ever bet against a kid who has that kind of character and that kind of work ethic. Mm-hmm. But that's a true, Tommy, that's a true project.
Yeah.
He's a true project from the professional sense, but tremendous character, work ethic, took his game to a whole new level this year. It's an intriguing name. It's one of my top four or five guys to watch at this entire combine, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Lewis, great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Lou.
You got it, man. Okay, guys.
He's the best, Lewis Riddick. Some really good stuff on Nagy and telling you, hey, the kid gloves are off. It's go time here, and they're going to put pressure on him, and it's going to be burning up the phone lines all year. We know that. Waddle's World is coming up next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
That's right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. You guys were talking about an Astro getting hit by a pitch today, huh? That's
not just an Astro, it was Bregman.
Ooh, and Bregman, I see
right in the
here
back.
also hit a home run in the third inning.
Now, we thought it was an off-speed pitch. I don't know if people hit peak guys on purpose with an off-speed pitch. Isn't usually a fastball. But he did get hit square. Like, the location was perfect from where you would want to get a guy.
Get it out of your system.
It looks like it was between the R and the E of his jersey.
Yeah. Get it out of your system now before the regular season starts. And when you hit guys, now you're going to get suspended and you're going to hurt your team.
Unofficial counter has Astros beamed at 7.
Ooh.
In the spring so
How
far.
How many other is there? Can you compare that to other teams?
I don't know what the unofficial total is for other teams.
Well, Jeff, come on. I mean, can't
you
get
on that?
I'm
just telling you, I'll look for it.
Please do.
But the fact that it's unofficial.
Well, how can it be unofficial? You've either hit a guy or you didn't
hit a guy. It's an unofficial counter on Twitter. That's why I said unofficial.
Okay. Yankees Giancarlo Stanton may miss the start of the season with a calf injury. It's a grade one strain in his right calf. Could be out a couple of weeks. So keep an eye on that.
He seems to be injury prone, doesn't he?
He's a big man with a lot of big muscles. So
tightly wound, too?
Yeah, maybe so.
He missed a lot of time last year.
What else do I have for you here? 5-time Grand Slam winner Maria Sharapova has announced her retirement, saying goodbye to tennis, 32 years of age.
You, in tribute to Maria Sharapova in our daily video promoting the show, you were grunting as you were shooting the hockey puck.
Trying to get as much as I can out of my slapper,
much,
so to speak.
Much like Maria Sharapova.
Yeah. I when my wife watches tennis, which is quite frequently, I ask her to put the volume down, especially because we watch tennis or she watches tennis at night, and it's hard to sleep when you hear all of these people playing tennis in the manner they do.
Yeah, and it's quiet and then loud and then quiet and then loud.
And I don't know why everyone's grunting. Like, in football, I mean, like, there may be a grunt every now and again. But like when a quarterback throws a ball, a deep ball, I very rarely hear a guy grunt.
Mitch does.
Mitch is just he's asking where's it going. I'm trying to think of another sport.
Get
like,
it done for me, audio man. I mean, tennis or amateur porn, I think is the game. So was this Sharapova playing, by the way, that you took this from?
That's Sharapova, Paula Ferris, and Brian Baldinger all playing tennis at the same time. I don't know if there's another sport where people groan like this in every physical movement that takes place.
Baldy's got a pretty good backhand.
That's not a backhand. Anyway, Sharapova has retired. I wonder like if she plays in these exhibitions going forward, if she's no longer a pro, if she'll grunt playing like just club tennis somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what the story is.
All of a sudden, she's quiet when she plays tennis.
Yeah. And Jeff Meller, I see Jeff Meller on my screen.
Yeah, that's me.
What's your name?
Soccer.
What's your
Kevin
soccer
DeBruyne.
Name?
Kevin De Bruyne.
Kevin De Bruyne. If he doesn't put this ball in the net, I'm going
to
come in there
God.
And punch you in your face.
I swear to God.
You can go right home.
If he doesn't make the shot right here, Meller's getting punched in the face.
A lot of groaning out of you guys all show. What do you guys need here to happen?
Yes! Get a little bit of that back.
Go!
All right, what we're wishing for now is just to cover some of the dreadful losses that will occur later
why
today
keep,
as well.
Why do you keep gambling on soccer?
Because it's fun.
And we won.
Yeah,
we did have some winners out there.
Yeah,
so.
we're a little bit below even at this point. Anyway, nobody cares about our soccer. Hey, did you see Tim Tebow is set to play for the Philippines in the World Baseball Classic qualifiers?
I did not see that.
He was born in the Philippines,
okay.
Where his parents were missionaries, so he's allowed to play for them.
A lot of players do that.
Could I play for Egypt or Saudi Arabia?
I
lived in Saudi Arabia, but I'm not from there.
But you're Egyptian,
though.
So
I'm saying Saudi Arabia, though.
Of course
can I play
you can.
In, but Saudi Arabia is not Egypt. Egypt's not Saudi Arabia.
Why wouldn't you want to play for the team?
I don't think he can make it.
I know, but then why are you playing for a team that you really don't have any affiliation to?
I'm telling
to?
You, a lot of guys have done this.
I know, and I don't get it. I really don't.
This happens all the time, too, in the World Cup.
Yeah, no, I know, and I don't get it. I mean, Becky Hammon played Russian basketball
right,
as well.
I know.
She played on the Russian team, the women's Russian team.
Yes.
Because they want to play in the Olympics, and so you sometimes have to pick your country.
But I want to play for my country.
But if you're not good enough, do you want to be an Olympian?
No, I don't.
Really?
I mean,
but if you were,
why would I want to be an Olympian for a country that I have no affiliation to other than I was born and I don't remember anything about it? Like, I'm not going to play for the state of Kentucky because my dad was born there. I'm not going to play for Ohio because I was born there. I'm a Chicagoan.
But what if you weren't good enough to play for the Chicago team? You could stick it to the Chicago team by playing for Kentucky.
That's different because you were talking about playing for a country.
But that's all it is.
I'm just not. I'm not a fan of it. I'm just not. Like, Tim, I appreciate you. I really do. I appreciate you.
I don't think you do. You never appreciate
it. I always appreciate
it. You were a critic of Tim Tebow.
I was critic of Tim Tebow's ability to throw the football. And that's what your job is when you're a quarterback. As a human being, there may not be a better guy.
Do you want, would you rather have Mitch Trubisky right now or Tim Tebow in his prime?
No, I'm taking Mitch.
You are? I mean,
there were people in Denver that questioned whether or not Tim was left-handed.
Tim Tebow led them to a playoff win.
Yes, my statement stands.
Okay.
My statement stands. Hornets guard Malik Monk is indefinitely suspended for violating the NBA's anti-drug program. I saw him play recently against our Bulls.
Right.
Another Bulls.
Yeah, it seems like they're always playing the Hornets, aren't they?
Yes, that is true. And last night, I wasn't able to watch this because I had spent too much time earlier in the night watching sports, and I had to spend some time with my wife. But the Lakers star LeBron James scored a season-high 40 points in his first-ever meeting against Zion Williamson.
He wanted to put on a show.
Yeah, Lakers win that game 118-109. I believe these two teams meet up later in the week as well.
Zion was great. He had 30 in this game, and I think 29 or 30. And he just continues to look even more explosive since coming back from the knee injury.
I don't know why I haven't managed my time well enough to bring you the poop stories, but I do have some nonsense. And I also have another sports story with regard to pass interference and that rule, along with a little Florida, Ohio next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
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 Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at @ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Before we get to our favorite game that includes heinous crimes in either the state of Florida or Ohio, teams not in favor of retaining the pass interference replay rule. Pass interference replay looks to be one and done. In the annual postseason survey taken by the 9-member NFL competition committee, teams came out overwhelmingly against retaining the pass interference replay rule that was put into place in 2019, according to the NFL Network's Judy Batista. According to Batista, when asked if they were in favor of making the rule permanent, 21 teams said no. 8 said yes. When asked if the rule should be extended for one more year, 17 teams said no. 5 said yes. So,
wow.
Decision to either make the pass interference replay rule permanent or to extend it one more year will be put to a vote during the annual league meeting at the end of March.
Is it the rule they have a problem with, or is it the way the rule was sort of judged?
I think the rule allows some inconsistency with the judging. So my guess is, based on some of this, is that they're going to get rid of it and maybe be open to a better rule.
Like we were talking about with Sky Judge?
The coaches, I believe, I've read, are pretty much in the majority believe that a Sky Judge would be equitable and wanted. Red Line rerouted to the loop when a naked man gets on a train.
Oh, that's here, huh? The Red Line? Our Red Line?
Red Line service was... do you ride the Red Line?
Sometimes. I ride the Red Line to
naked?
Work. No, that's just for the Blue Line.
Blue Line naked.
The Blue Line is the naked?
Yeah.
Red Line service was rerouted to the Loop L Sunday evening after a man got on a train naked on the near north side. Boy, there is a lot of nakedness in this world that I just don't understand.
Rerouted, I don't understand why you would reroute the train. Like, isn't there a stop anyway on the route that you're going to?
They probably rerouted trains around it so they could deal with the naked man on the train.
Because
I imagine you don't go quietly.
Right.
Like,
if you're naked on the train already, you're right. You're causing a ruckus.
Yeah.
It was close.
Yeah, it was. Michigan man stabbed with a samurai sword after not buying pot for his partner. Michigan man attacked last month after he allegedly did not buy marijuana for the suspect. Neil Patrick Wazinski, 28, was hit with various assault charges.
Is that Doogie Howser?
Yes, it is. 2 days after allegedly punching the victim's rib cage and stabbing him with a 21-inch sword inside the suspect's apartment. People, you need to chill.
The samurai sword, to have that at home as it is, you've got to be a little crazy to own one, don't you?
I'm not going to give you a name here because we have friends in Wisconsin, but we go to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Is it Eau Claire? Is that how you pronounce it?
Eau Claire?
No, it's Eau Claire.
I believe Waddle's right.
Eau Claire? When was the last time you guys had an Eau Claire?
I don't know that I've ever had one. No, I've never had one.
It's usually got a creamy filling inside, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, a man is charged in Eau Claire County after being accused of stealing condoms and chicken wings from the Eau Claire Walmart.
Chicken!
I was waiting for that.
Condoms!
That was very, very well done, Abdallah.
I'm going to steal
chicken
wings.
Okay.
And condoms stolen.
They were stolen?
Yeah.
Where was this from? From a convenience store?
No, a Walmart.
A Walmart.
And we have plenty of friends in the neighboring Wisconsin state area.
Are you saying that this could be someone we know?
I'm not. I'm just hoping that it's not. I'm hoping that it's not someone that we know.
Anyone see Ben Bruss lately?
Wow. You know what, Ben? That didn't come from me. Jif Peanut Butter settles the debate over how to pronounce GIF. Forget the great potato pronunciation debate. In the internet age, it's all about GIF, whatever. Just when the world thought the riddle was solved, that GIF, short for graphics interchange format, should be pronounced with a soft G, GIF, like the word gentle, peanut butter giant GIF is wading into the sticky situation. Jiffy, the addictive site that showcases all things GIF, has taken a definitive stand in a new partnership with the Pantry Stable. We know there's only one GIF and it's peanut butter. If you're looking for all GIF. The GIFs, there's only one Jiffy.
Yeah, it's GIF.
If you're a soft G, please visit JIF.com. If you're a hard G, thank you. We know you're right.
Do you know why I agree with you now on this, Abdallah? So the history lesson I've been given, first of all, was it was meant to be GIF.
Yes.
But now most people go with GIF. But I go with GIF now after hearing what it stands for. It stands for graphic.
Yeah.
So it's graphic starts with a real, like the hard G. It's GIF. We say it like graphic. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. It's also
it absolutely makes sense.
I also
to be
get
GIF.
This. Like, remember when Robbie Gold was still here and we called him Robbie Gould?
People called him Gould.
People called him Gould, and then I remember
there
being
still
a story.
Some announcers who do that.
I remember it being a story where he was
Joe
like,
Buck
"Guys,
do that?
It's Gould."
I think Schefter sometimes makes that mistake.
Gould, yeah.
I think Schefter does it a lot.
Good as gold.
Good as gold. New Jersey man passes off fake $100 bill with "for motion picture use only" printed on it. How about that? I guess that must be for fake money on movie sets.
For motion pictures only.
Motion picture use only. You'd try to get away with that, wouldn't you?
No,
voodoo doll
never.
Speculated to have washed up on Cape Canaveral Beach. A man discovered strange doll made out of coconuts with human teeth and snake skin.
This sounds like something out of the movie that Tom Hanks was in, right? Wilson? You're telling me like he put together
Castaway?
Like, yeah, Castaway?
Did he put together a voodoo doll?
No, it was like just to keep him the volleyball to keep him company.
Right.
So it was what is this?
A man discovers strange doll made out of coconuts with human teeth and snake skin. We go to Cape Canaveral, Florida. History shows you can find just about anything on Florida's beaches. Some things are obvious about what they are, but what a beach walker found Thursday, much more mysterious. It was a rather strange doll made out of coconuts, Bruce Robertson described.
And real teeth.
Initially, he was creeped out. What was really sort of terrifying or horrifying or interesting was it actually had human teeth, as you just said. So
that's disgusting.
It's a voodoo. I don't believe in voodoo. Do you believe in voodoo?
Not voodoo, no. I believe in the ghosts and stuff like that, so.
Sylvie, how's your arm?
How's my arm?
Does your arm hurt?
No.
I don't believe in voodoo either.
Is that a standard voodoo joke?
What about
your voodoo joke? I mean, are there voodoo
what about your groin?
Like
any pain in your groin lately?
Why don't you get your hand out of another's groin?
Let's not work.
I think it's time to play a game.
Let's do this.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Wow.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars, SUVs, and snacks at fieldsautogroup.com. Wilbon clogs toilet to help steal from dollar store.
Ooh, clogged up the toilet so some people would run in to, like, plunge the toilet, then she went to steal from the dollar store?
A woman is suspected of utilizing an unusual method to help steal items from a dollar store. The suspect shoplifter clogged multiple toilets at a dollar store to distract employees as she fled with more than $400 worth of merchandise.
Wow, that's a lot of merchandise if everything's a dollar.
The woman loaded 400 items. Laundry bins with $400 worth of items before she went into the bathrooms and clogged the toilets. She reportedly took the stolen items to a nearby parking lot and met up with someone in a dark-colored SUV. The police said the SUV proceeded to drive around, pick up the items, but when the woman spotted another Family Dollar employee, she fled.
Ooh. I got to tell you, have you ever been to a dollar store? I went to one when near my dad's place in Tennessee. There's a lot of good stuff in there for a buck.
Really?
I was in there to help my brother buy bait. I know that shouldn't shock anybody. We were in just outside in Knoxville.
And some worms.
Yeah, we were. But, like, you can buy a ton of stuff in there because it's all, seriously, it's a dollar.
We've been to a dollar store all together. Remember for the Kentucky Derby to get by the umbrellas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm telling you, though, there's some good bargains in the dollar store.
I took my kids into a dollar store a few times.
Boy, they could go crazy in there.
They lose their mind, though, because you try and have them pick something out, and they just can't.
It's fun,
their heads explode because there's too many options.
No, this is Ohio. This is middle U.S.
Florida.
A woman clogged a toilet to help steal from the dollar store in Marion County, Florida.
They're 50-cent stores in Ohio. They're not dollar stores.
We're gambling coming up next. Who will be the most likely quarterback that Ryan Pace signs to challenge Mitchell Trubisky? We'll hold our draft in just 2 minutes.